Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Many of the fathers say that she was actually reading the prophecy of Isaiah For he says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. If you stop and think about it, how is this going to happen? This is amazing. And at that moment, the archangel Gabriel said to her, hail, thou who art highly favored, it says in the King James, full of grace is what it means. Thou who art full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And he greets her with this strange greeting. Now, if you read St. Luke's Gospel, this all happens in the first chapter of the Gospel, very early on. If you go back just a few verses earlier in the first chapter of the Gospel, you have the same archangel, Gabriel, appearing to Zechariah, the father of John, the forerunner, the Baptist. And he appears to Zechariah as he's serving in the temple. And he tells Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth will conceive and will bear a son who will be great. And Zechariah says similar words to what the Theotokos says. Zechariah says, how is this going to happen? I'm already an old man. And maybe he wouldn't have said this if Elizabeth was present, but he said, my wife is well stricken in years. And Gabriel responds to Zechariah one way and to the Theotokos a different way. He responds to Zechariah by saying, because you did not believe what I told you, you will be struck dumb. And actually what he says is, you will be in silence and unable to speak. So he wasn't just struck dumb, he was struck deaf as well. He will be in silence, and he wasn't able to hear, and he wasn't able to speak for the 9 months until John was born. And so, but the response of Gabriel in that case to the question, how is this going to happen, is to recognize and to rebuke Zechariah for his unbelief. But nevertheless, that which God wills comes to pass. That is, Elizabeth conceives and bears a son, John the Forerunner, and Zechariah is free from his deafness and his dumbness at that point, and names the child John according to the commandment of God. So after having done that, 6 months later, he goes and he appears to the Theotokos. And he greets her with these words, hail thou who art full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And she wonders, what kind of greeting is this? This is a strange greeting, I don't know who this is. And the angel proceeds to tell her that she will conceive in her womb and bear one who will be called the Son of God. Well, it's no secret that she's already sworn herself to a lifetime of service to God, a lifelong virginity. She knows that God knows that. If this is really an angel standing here, he ought to know that too. And so she asks this question, how is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? How will a virgin conceive a child? This is her question. The question is not one of unbelief, like Zechariah's question. Hers is a question of literally, how is this going to come to pass? How will this take place? And strangely, Zechariah doesn't answer the way, the Archangel Gabriel doesn't answer the way he answered Zechariah. He doesn't say, well, you unbelieving woman, who are you to question the will and the presence of God? He actually gives her an answer. But it's not a real answer. Because Gabriel himself doesn't know. She says to him, how is this going to come to pass? How does this take place? She's thinking about the vow that she's already taken. How will it happen that a woman who's vowed her life to virginity, how will she conceive and bear a child? And Zechariah says, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore that which is born of you will be called the Son of God. It's not a technical answer. It's not an explanation of the process. What he's essentially saying is that God is going to do it, and I don't know, but I know that this is what's going to come to pass. And he goes on, he summarizes his explanation by saying, with God, nothing is impossible. But the whole dialogue between the Theotokos, between the Virgin Mary and the Archangel Gabriel, doesn't really become obvious what's going on until the very end. Because He greets her. And he gives God's desire. He reveals God's desire to her. And she asks questions. And rather than rebuking her, he's compelled to respond. He's compelled to explain as far as is within his power. And maybe we don't realize until we get to the end of the passage, whenever the Theotokos gives her final answer, that's actually what the king is waiting for. He is waiting for her to agree. He is waiting for her to respond. He is waiting for the cooperation of her free will. The Archangel Gabriel did not come to the Virgin Mary and say, this is what's going to happen, whether you like it or not. And you know what? You're going to suffer a lot because of this. But that's just too bad because this is what God wants to do. That's not what he says. He comes to the Virgin Mary and he reveals God's desire. God desires that his son would come from your flesh. He says that. The thing which will be conceived in your womb, the concrete reality of your own flesh, giving rise to the flesh of the Son of God. But he does not simply say, this is the will of God, and then depart. He's compelled to stay there, compelled by God to stay there, until he has answered all of her questions, and until she has agreed of her own free will, which is precisely what she does. After receiving the explanation of the archangel, after meditating on it in her heart, her response is, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said. Her free cooperation with the will of God is what makes the incarnation possible. We speak about the power and the majesty and the might of God. But what we usually forget is that God himself is humble. This is why humility is the chief virtue. This is why we all strive for humility. Because in striving for humility, we imitate God. God himself is humble. The king of the universe comes to this 15-year-old virgin and says, do you mind? I'd like to do this. But you need to agree to it. That's humility. Could he have ordered her? She's his creation. Could he have commanded and compelled her? Yes. That is not how God chooses to bring about our redemption. He chooses to do it with the complete and total free cooperation of us. Because this is how he created us to be. Free agents. Free persons in communion with him. And so this is the initiation, this is the dawn of our salvation. And it doesn't happen by force, it doesn't happen by compulsion, it happens by the free agreement of the Virgin Mary, who says to the archangel, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have willed. And so, for all generations, we bless the Theotokos, as she herself foretold. But in all of our services, we bless her. There's not a service of the Orthodox Church. You can't say morning or evening prayers without blessing the Theotokos, without asking for her intercession. There's not a single service in the Church that does not contain a blessing for her, does not contain supplication through her. Because through her agreement, through her cooperation with God, which was not compelled but freely given, she actually made it possible for God to humble himself to take on the form of a servant. And we shouldn't imagine that this was something easy for her. We shouldn't imagine that this was something that was always experienced as a glorious thing. Remember when she took the child into the temple and met the elder Simeon, and he prophesied. What did he tell her? Not, this is a wonderful day, you'll be glorified by all generations for having borne this child. No, he says, and a sword will pierce your soul. And she knew that. Going into it. She knew that. And nevertheless, she responds to the Archangel Gabriel and the handmaid of Clover. No matter how difficult things might be, no matter how strange they might seem, no matter how much slander I have to endure, it is the will of God, and I will do it because I am His servant. And so she provides an example for all of us. For all of us who seek to follow Christ, for all of us who seek to follow the will of God, to understand that the will of God for us sometimes is difficult, sometimes is hard, sometimes will even open us up to slander, the hatred of men. But in the end, we are the servants of God. And if we do His will, then tremendous glory, which outweighs all the suffering of this world, will be ours by His grace. For God, who was born of the Virgin Mary, the old Lord, the age of the ages.